this meeting of the joint work session to order. This is a joint work session between the Lincoln County Board of Commissioners and the City Council of Lincoln City. We are in the Lincoln City Council Chambers, and these are meetings that the Board of Commissioners hold once a year with the different city councils throughout our county. There are seven city councils, and we also have a joint session with the tribal council, so that's tribal council. So it's an opportunity to talk about items of mutual interest. The agenda is put together consisting of items of interest to the city as well as the county. And I believe we all have an agenda with 8 items. And with that, let's start with introductions, and let's start all the way on my right.
Dick Anderson.
Judy Casper. Susan Wacky.
Terry Thompson, County Commissioner.
Doug Hunt, Commissioner.
Claire Hall.
Hi, this is Deanna Hinton.
Riley Hoffman.
Ron, you want to introduce yourself?
I'm Ron Chandler, the techie. If you just speak right into the mics, they should work.
Christy Whitaker, recorder.
And all the way over here.
Kathy Steers, the recorder.
Okay. With that, the first item on the agenda is the Southwest 29th Street. There are two parcels. This is an item, I believe, was put on the agenda by the city. And who wants to lead off the conversation?
Wayne,
I guess. I'm just going to assume. Okay,
Wayne, come forward. Wayne Belmont, County Council. I assume this has been a topic of discussion for a couple of years, and this is a piece of property that was involved in litigation for a long period of time. The county has property that, I can't remember the name of the creek, I apologize for that, but there's a creek. It runs down through the middle of this particular property, and the city has expressed an interest in having this property for open space. I think it's something that we said in the past that we'd be willing to discuss with you, and probably has been the subject of litigation for a number of years. But that's been solved.
Wayne, could you bring me that mic? Needs to really be down right at you.
How's that? Better?
Yeah. Yep.
So I think in order to accomplish this, I guess this is pretty simple. What I need to do is sit down and talk to the city manager, possibly the city attorney, to draft up the appropriate documents and get in front of everybody. Obviously, by having this on the agenda, the city's still interested in this property. I can take that, right? Right. And we had, the county had expressed an interest in actually conveying this particular property to the city.
So it sounds like we're all in agreement. It's a matter of
the one thing I'll do, maybe to move this along, make sure it moves along, is before I leave here tonight, the city manager and I will sit down and set a specific date in which we can get together and work on the details to get going. Okay?
Thank you.
Okay. Moving on to Dune Avenue, also two parcels. Is this of the same nature?
It is. This is the county had actually identified a number of properties that we have acquired through, mostly through foreclosure process, that for some reason they operate as streets. They actually are access to properties inside Lincoln City, but for one reason or another, they were never dedicated as public rights of way. And this is one of, actually, we've got a few others. I think we're going to talk about Southwest Orr Avenue is one that's on our list. We've got several others that we would like to discuss with the city. And I think what we do, the details on this one are whether or not we simply dedicate a right-of-way, which would, because though it's located in the city, would automatically become a city jurisdiction for that. Or if we want to dedicate the right-of-way and convey the underlying fee, also to the city, and that would be our preference, would be to do that. So again, I think this is this particular property, I would suggest, and Southwest Orr, that we have discussions with the city staff about the process for doing that and get it underway.
Any other questions or comments on Dune Street Avenue? Have we covered Orr?
We covered Orr, I think, too.
Okay, well, back up to 74th Street.
And I think I can turn this on.
No, there are others that you want to cover while you're here.
Roy Kenyon will also be here talking about this one.
Okay.
Roy Kenyon, Lincoln County Public Works Director. And we, Lincoln County has a wayside, small park on the west side of Logan Road, between Logan Road and the beach. And I can only assume, make an assumption that this is on the list because of some interest from the city to acquire it, is that correct?
We're getting nods.
I would say we should ask the city manager that question. I would assume that, but I haven't had a discussion about it. It's in my board, that's how I answer.
And I think possibly this is also one when there was a request to put a bench in this particular area, I think this might be the area. So, I can give up my second.
Does the city manager come forward?
So, yes, there has been some discussion on the city acquiring this. This is not something that we have had a lot of discussion with the city council, so it would need to be discussed further. Wayne was right also that there's been a discussion about putting a bench there. We don't know if it's feasible, but at least with Councilor Hinton, we've also talked about how do we create restroom facilities somewhere up in the Rose End area, and we wanted to take a look at all of the beach entrances to see if there's a possibility of creating some kind of a restroom facility, whether it's a full-blown restroom or a porta potty or something. The only restroom that's up there is at Rose End State Park, and creates quite a distance if somebody's at the very top of Rose End, and we've had some issues with that.
Are there any issues or concerns on the county side? No?
Well, we actually was in a conversation with multiple people on the restroom, yes, no restroom there at that wayside. We do have some experience with the attempt to put a porta potty there. It was not received very well. And it wasn't actually put there by the county, it was actually put there by a contractor who was doing work in the local area. And the people that live adjacent to it did not appreciate it being there. It was removed. We looked roughly at how much square footage is available there as far as putting in a permanent restroom. It's really kind of a tight squeeze. If you look at setback requirements from both sides, if you look at setback requirement off the street, if you look at the lay of the ground, it would be a really tough build. Now, I'm not saying that it's not possible to put something in there. I'm not a restroom engineer by no means, so I'm not sure what's available. But we did look at it. It was part of the discussion, and the initial discussion was it wasn't really feasible. But that's not saying it's not possible.
Okay. Mr. Chair, question.
Commissioner.
What was the issue on the part of the neighbors with having a porta potty there?
Smell.
Oh.
Okay. Smell and proximity.
Okay.
We've looked at it. Other beach entrances, the same thing, and have had a couple of porta potties in it. And the problem we have with all of those beach entrances, they're small. Even the ones with the parking, you're looking at very limited parking areas. And so anywhere you go to a restroom, is right next to somebody's property.
And all those homes are pretty closely clustered.
Yes, sir. Yes, ma'am. And it's something that's going to be difficult for us to work on, as was just said, but it's been an issue that keeps arising. And so I don't expect that it's going to go away anytime quick without something to help.
Right. And I think that if there was some way to figure it out, it would be well received. Because it's quite the march from State Park up to the head and back, and it's the back trip, I think, that becomes the issue. And it's more of a lay of the ground kind of a thing. You know, there's, like you said, house after house that sits high up above the beach there. There's any beach access is somewhere more than 10 feet wide. This one is the widest north of the state park, but it still isn't quite wide enough to do what we would like to do. But I'm not saying that there isn't the possibility of doing something. There's also a drainage facility. There's a catch basin right in the middle of this wayside. but they can be moved. I mean, they, you know, that's a little easier to overcome. It's more just the sheer size and space required for a decent facility.
Sure.
On my left first.
Thanks, Dan. Thanks. I'm just curious how many years ago that porta potty was there that you are familiar with?
You know, I can't give you an actual amount of years. Things would go by fairly fast, but it was within probably the last 5 years that that occurred.
So I'm familiar with that area, and I don't remember a porta potty being there. But also, I think there's 3 or 4 parking spaces. I'm just wondering if there could be some collaboration between the city and the county to look at the entire space, see if you can reconfigure it. Is there something that you can do? We have a very serious situation, let's say, with neighbors, especially to the north of that area, being their backyard, side yards, are being used as a porta potty.
We've had multiple discussions with these individuals. Yes, we're well aware of that.
As well as on the beach, so I think we're at a critical point here.
I know, and I'm not beyond actually taking a look at that. Yeah, there's, I think there's 3 parking stalls there. When we process actually just up there, there was a vehicle in each one of them. I don't know if those are locals who don't want to walk down the road to use it, or if the state park is full and that's kind of used as a small overflow.
It also offers a different access to the beach from the more crowded area.
It does, but if we utilize the parking spaces, then they're gone and they're really, well, actually the residents or the users of the houses along there actually almost occupy all of the side streets, and you know, anything that looks like a parking spot usually has a car in it. So parking is a premium. But it might be might be worth giving up a few parking places to actually try to do a restroom there. We could definitely look at it.
Commissioner Thompson.
So refresh me a little bit about the jobs you're doing there. Most of the jobs that you're doing in Rhodes End are more city services than county services. Is the conversation still good that we transfer Logan Road to someplace to the city?
Yes, we've had those conversations. And I think unless things have changed, the last decent conversation that we had, it was kind of all dependent upon us fixing a drainage issue down there, basically at the state park. We're currently working on that. Once we get the drainage issue fixed, then we were going to hopefully actually get serious about the talk about transfer.
So since I have a city manager here, are you prepared to take over that piece of property?
Ultimately, it will be those people up there that make that decision.
Well, you're the one that has to move the paperwork.
But that is the direction we have been moving towards, and the interest is still there, yes.
So, I'm not going to be here too long. I'd like to move it while I'm still here. Is that possible within the next 6 months?
To move which?
Move Logan Road to the city.
The key issue for us in that, as was just mentioned, will be the drainage. But that's an issue that needs to be resolved before we would be able to take that over.
Could we get some more information on that from these gentlemen? Exactly what that issue entails?
Well, basically, we're trying to work through the grant process. There's 2 culverts, one main culvert and then one the slightly elevated culvert that works as an overflow, that at high peak flows, doesn't take all the water. It doesn't take all the water. They're too small. Water backs up. There's a private property there, house on it, that when this water backs up, it basically actually gets up higher than the guy's foundation. And so we're trying to find out the best way to fix the issue. The problem is what we're running into is the area between the county road and Salis City, I guess, has been declared a nationally recognized wetland. And so we run into some issues with that, because in order for us to put in a bigger pipe to increase the flow, it's basically going to dry up this wetland. Mm-hmm. And so what we're running into problem is how do you ensure the survivability of the wetland, but also move the water like it's supposed to be moved? And there was also some fish passage issues, and we've gotten multiple stories from multiple agencies basically contradicting each other about the existence of fish there, you know, and the need for passage. But where we're at right now is we have our joint permit in the process of going to DSL, and we're going to see how it flies. But what we have designed right now is a much larger pipe that would carry the 100-year flow.
So, Mr. Chair, so essentially then we're at the mercy of DSL, if anybody doesn't know, Division of State Lands, their timeline, and then contracting, but it sounds...
There's no way this would get done in the next 6 months.
Yeah, I was going to say, it's sounding to me like the complexity of this is not going to happen.
Well, we're also running into some design issues because of the city utilities that are stacked in that fill, and it's kind of like fitting the square peg in a round hole or vice versa.
So, let me understand, then this is an agreement problem. What would prevent us from, and your council, from making a decision to carry that property forward if it's a permit problem? Why are we stuck so hard on this issue? Because if you want the road, that permit seems like a fairly small issue.
I believe the answer to that is we want the road, but it's not with a condition. And the condition is the drainage issue is resolved. We don't want to inherit the drainage issue.
And that's what I understood was once we get the drainage issue taken care of, then go to the next step.
So, Mr. Chair, this reminds me, and Mr. Kenyon, if you say, is this sort of analogous to in 2005, I believe it was, when we agreed to take jurisdiction of what is now Crystal Creek Loop. You know, we didn't do that without a substantial financial commitment from ODOT to bring the road up to our current standards when we took it. So either there's got to be a commitment on our part to finance this work, and I can understand from the city's standpoint that based on the complexities of the engineering and permitting process, there may not be a fix, or we probably don't have a firm price tag on it, and the city doesn't want to step forward without knowing very clearly what they're getting into with this, or having the problem already resolved. Was that
yes.
a fair assessment?
That is a very fair assessment, okay. Yes. And we really do not know what's all involved in this, because if we put in a bigger pipe, flows more water, and we start affecting the wetland immediately above, then we're probably going to get into a mitigation issue, and we really don't know where that's going to go, what that's going to cost us. And so there's still a couple unknowns that we haven't been able to get to because we haven't got through the permit process yet. We haven't even started to come out the other end.
So I guess if I were to summarize it, we are in the process of submitting an application to Department of Lands.
Yes.
And depending on what decision or outcome of that process, then we'll know what the next step is. So we don't have a final resolution, but we are moving.
That is true. On our end.
Sure.
Yes, and you know, Lincoln City hasn't really been involved in it to much extent, other than I know our engineer has traded some ideas with Lincoln City's engineer and kept them kind of abreast. But we haven't made any great big steps yet because we're still trying to push the paper.
Okay. Mr. Chair.
Yes.
May I ask, you're in the permitting process now. Have you submitted the permit? I mean, where are we
submitting? It has not been submitted yet.
Not been submitted.
No. Well, and what held us up was when we realized with the larger pipe that it was going to impact other things and it might not be possible to do so, we kind of set back. We took a look at the existing pipes to see if there was something we could do with them to increase the flow to accommodate excess water. Well, when the numbers come out, no. They actually, no matter what we did to the existing pipes, they weren't going to be big enough to meet the flow demands. So that put us kind of back to where we were originally, and now we're pushing forward from there. And so we went forward, took a step back, and now we're going forward again.
If I could continue, isn't the size of the culvert right now, isn't that impacting a piece of property that's located next to the area?
It does impact during high flow periods. So those occasional winter storms, not that we have one every winter, but when we have, and it doesn't have to be a 100-year flow, 50-year flow, it does tend to backwater, especially if it, with the beaver issue in the area, if there happens to be a partial blockage in the front of one of those pipes, then it magnifies the situation.
So, any other questions, Dean? Okay. I got confused because the name tag underneath there is
Sean.
Sean.
We'll say Sean now.
Commissioner,
since I've been involved in these kinds of things, sometimes we get stuck in the catch-22. This seems like one where we could get stuck in the catch-22 and Logan Road would never get transferred. Do I see it right?
I guess anything's possible. I don't believe it's likely. We will eventually. There is, if you can throw enough money at something,
you sound like the state.
Well, and the reason that I say that is I think we're assuming, and I think rightly so, we're assuming that the correct thing to do here is to put in a large enough pipe to carry the water. It's going to negatively affect the wetland immediately above the pipe. That will lead us down the road to mitigation. And we really do not know how much and how expensive that's actually going to be. So I believe that we will get to the end of this thing. We just don't know what it's going to cost us to get there.
Mr. Chair, I do have a question.
Please go ahead.
So have you been in meetings with DSL to figure out where that mitigation piece is and how it fits with the sizing of the culvert? And
well,
I'm having a hard time understanding.
The design is for the size of the culvert that's designed is what it takes to carry enough water to pass. Well, what we're at now is we're submitting that design to DSL. So no, we have not actually had direct conversation with DSL at this point in time. We're waiting for them to take a look at the permit and then comment.
And when are you sending in the permit? What's your schedule?
Within the next month, we should have that sent in.
Would you mind getting in contact with our city manager to let him know how that's going?
Sure.
Okay. Other questions?
Mr. Chair?
Yes.
I mean, we jumped to Logan Road on the agenda.
Yeah, we did.
Back to, because I had a question on 74th, and the discussion was, it seemed to divert from the city desires to buy the access to discussion about the restroom not fitting. I'm wondering, and I appreciate the history, but would it not be just appropriate, if you're willing to sell it, let the city worry about fitting a restroom on it? Or is there any reason why you need to be in the restroom business before you sell it?
I see no reason for us to be in the restroom business there.
So I guess as we leave that item, is there any reason why that couldn't be purchased by the city themselves?
Excuse me, I have to look to Roy or Council Belmont, but I sense there isn't.
There's not. It's a deeded piece of property. It was deeded to the county. So that's the one reason why, after the jurisdictional or after the annexation, that was one of the pieces that didn't go. There's actually that piece, and then on to the north, there is a 10-foot wide pathway, it says, if you look at the GIS map. Now, that pathway runs due east and west, straight off the edge, and so reality is that can never be actually a usable path. But this other wayside is also a needed piece, and so we still have it. I don't know that it's not my decision whether or not we actually are willing to get rid of it. I'm actually in favor of turning it over. I think that's would best suit everybody involved, it's going to, it would turn out to be probably a much better used, better facility.
I'm looking at that council Belmont, but I guess my feeling, ours, it certainly seems to make sense to proceed if that's the wishes of the city council. And, you know, there are probably devils in the details, but let's let staff work those out. But the objective would be to transfer.
Mr. Belmont.
Objective would be to transfer it to the city.
Right, it would be nice to have a package deal, but I don't believe timing is not going to allow it to happen, really. But like I said, I'll repeat it again, we will get that project done. It may take.
You're still on the wayside, or you're back to Logan Road?
No, I'm back to the actual drainage. Well, Commissioner Thompson would wanted to kind of wrap it up in a ball, and I would, it would be much easier to do so, but I don't think timing is going to allow it to happen.
Okay, I see what you're saying.
Yeah.
All right, other questions from councilors? Yes?
Mr. Chairman, I just point out, as we, before we move to the other stuff, all the things above that we just finished were also on our 2017 agenda.
Well, we moved a couple off.
Not yet. All we've got is talk about them. So I'm encouraging us, as in both city and county, sure, to not have them appear next year on the agenda, and these all those.
Which are those sentences?
Thanks.
All right. Any, so did we cover, so we're down to the septic system? Is that correct? Is that in agreement? Okay, septic system enforcement, or go ahead, Ron.
So let me begin with what we're hoping to accomplish, and that is just the blessings of both organizations to, for the staff to work together on some holes that we found as it pertains to enforcement of failing septic systems. We've had a circumstance that arise where a septic system has failed, and what I thought was going to be an easy thing to resolve has ballooned into a very large problem, and it's exposed some differences in the county's role and our role that has made it a little bit more difficult. If there is a sudden, as I understand how the county's operation works, if there's a septic system that fails, the county is the first of all the one that inspects it, identifies it, notifies that it is a failing system, and can order that the septic system be repaired, rebuilt, replaced, unless it is within 300 feet of a city sewer system. In this case, this property is in that such case. In our case, in the city's case, the way we enforce these is that when we find that somebody needs to hook up because of a failing septic system, we have to approach it through the dangerous building ordinance that we have, which goes through the whole notification process and gives time to fix it. Well, that process, in this case, ballooned into something more than just fixing the septic system. It was problems within the house and everything else. And what we have found is that we don't have the ability to simply tell somebody, either through an easy enforcement provision, one that I thought might work, is just simply shut off the water to stop sewage from coming out. And we don't seem to have that ability to do that. And so we end up with a system that is inoperable. The county can't really enforce it to make it happen because it's within a distance. We don't really have the ability to make something happen quickly. And so what we're just really hoping is that you'll give us the blessing to work with your staff and see if we can find a way to harmonize these two processes a little bit so that we know how to more easily deal with this.
So can we look to, like Mr. Belmont is using, if there's a willingness to,
I'll explore this.
Nodding his head, that's a good sign.
So we did look at the administrative rules on this, and it is a, there's a gap.
We're talking Oregon administrative.
Oregon administrative rules, and there's a gap with our jurisdictional authority and responsibility for septic systems. You know, we are the agency, we're delegated authority by the state of Oregon to enforce the laws relating to the septic system. But it's very clear in the administrative rules that in the situation that Ron was describing here, where there is a septic system that is failing, but it's within 300 feet. Actually, the standards are if there's an available, willing provider of sewer, and it's with physically and legally able to get the sewer, then we can't issue a permit. So we can't force them to repair. In fact, we cannot issue them a permit to repair. So the idea behind it very clearly in the administrative rules is you'll connect to the city system, but the gap is that we're not finding the tools for the city to enforce the connection from the city's end, because the administrative rule simply just tells us what we can and can't do.
Okay, so
we'll work on it.
My question, and I guess you'll need to explore this, but you know, whether there is a solution at the local level or if we're going to need to work with the state agencies or possibly through our legislators to get a fix either through revision of administrative rule or possibly statute.
We'll have to look
at it. I guess that's what, so, okay. I don't have any problem with at least the exploration of a solution to this. So
I certainly think we want to be cooperative and try to find a solution. Sometimes it's, it takes some time, as there are several of these issues. Commissioner Thompson, counselors, any other thoughts? Go ahead, Hannah.
I just want to say, I hope we can come to a solution sooner than later. This is becoming quite an issue for us. Thank you.
Well, it's been one I know that we've talked about, too, so. Yeah. Cutler Wetlands?
I'm going to bring two of our staff up to discuss that.
Okay.
Hello, I'm Jeannie Sprague, Lincoln City Parks and Recreation Director. Hello, Council. Nice to see you again. Hello, Commissioners. Nice to meet you.
I'm Allison Roberts, Lincoln City Urban Renewal and Economic Developer.
We're here to discuss the Cutler City Wetlands property, give you a little bit of background, and then we do have a request for you. All right, so this is the map. There's two plots of land right here that the county currently owns that we have an easement on, and Lincoln City Parks and Recreation does the maintenance of this wetlands property, and we're gonna get into that in a little bit. So you have a visual of what this property is.
So just to cover a little bit of background on the property, Lincoln County granted Lincoln City an easement for the purposes of a public park. And the park was part of the 2008 Cutler District Community Vision and Corridor Plan. It is a very well-loved park, beautiful trail system, and very much a part of the Cutler District neighborhood. In 2010, Urban Renewal made significant investment in basically turning a couple of Blackberry Bramble rights of way into some nice entrances to the trail system. We heard some concerns about people getting into the trail system, getting a little bit turned around and not feeling like they could get out of it. And so sometimes
you're saying it's a maze rather than a trail?
It was, yes, yes. So that was part of what we encountered in 2008. Sometimes people would end up in other people's backyards, not knowing really where they had come out. So we tried to correct that by creating basically more permeability into the trail system and out of it, and then also some wayfinding maps and some interpretive signage to talk a little bit about what people will see as they're walking through that trail system. Some additional urban renewal investments since that 2008 community vision included basically what we call volunteerism. This was before we had a more organized way of getting volunteers to improve our park system. And so that was 2008, basically just bark chips. You know, there were lots of tree roots that were kind of trip hazards in that trail system. And so putting in some bark chips to help cushion that and make it more unified and safer trail. And then 2010, we did another volunteer project and a couple of them in 2011. So it's been a concerted effort on the part of the city and the community. There's some good photos from our volunteers. And this shows the trail accesses. Those are the wonderful before pictures that make these projects fun to do. And there's a picture of the trail signage that went into the space.
So what's the total distance of the trails?
That's a good question. Right, it's on 9 acres, so they're not very long. I mean, they're 0.4 here, 0.3 there. You can do the whole loop there within 30, 35 minutes at a pretty slow pace, so, yeah.
Lots of wild rhododendron.
Yes. So the background continued was on February 8th of this year, Lincoln County approved our request to Lincoln City Parks and Recreation to make further improvements on it. And we've done quite a bit since then. We're looking at adding trail markers. We did a pilot study with Career Tech here. It's a high school program here in Lincoln City where they work with their wood shops and works with Joe Miller, our park supervisor, and myself to understand what signage was for parks, how to do it, and they came up with some neat names. Just a pilot study, they learned a lot. We're building wooden abutments over rated parts of the trail. I'm going to show you some pictures of that. We're maintaining trails via invasive removal, which our parks maintenance staff do quite a bit of, and so do our Career Tech students. It's just a well-used and well-loved park. It's a love story in Lincoln City. So what we've done so far with trail maintenance here is some of our students from Career Tech out there working on it, having a good time. Spent a lot of hours, and this is where we'd like to continue making investments in the wetlands here. These are some eroded trails. They're on the trail. We need to work on them. And our request to you is Lincoln County to be the two county wetland parcels to Lincoln City as Parks and Recreation, or at least to direct staff to talk about it and to work on it.
Question.
Of course.
Commissioner Thompson first.
So as a value of property, I mean, it's under our control. Why should we do it?
It is a historic part of our Cutler City, which is within Lincoln City. Lincoln City residents love that area. Also, Parks and Recreation is putting quite a bit of investment into it, financially and time-wise. We'd like to continue with that. In fact, right now, we have a private landowner who's across the street from the wetlands right now, donating some wetland to City of Lincoln City. We want to tie those properties together.
So when I take over this, when I took over this job, my job was to make sure that the taxpayers, you know, if we did something, we traded or got something of equal value back. What's the city offering back? So that the county taxpayers are revenue neutral.
Right.
In exchange.
So the actions of the county and the city have already actually done that. The property is wetland, therefore it's not really developable except as park property. The county and the city have already agreed that the county would take over the maintenance of that property and the development of that property as an open space and a park area, which is taking place. The investment and the benefit to the county has already taken place. Remember, Lincoln City is a part of the county. You have a beautiful park system that's now been improved, whereas before it wasn't there. The next logical step in this is to just simply formalize that even more, let the city just take it over and run it. It will continue to be in that. If the commissioners were not interested in that, then we would still continue to run it and operate it as long as the agreement lasts.
I've walked that park for all these improvements. I'm impressed by what you've done. I spent quite a bit of time up there and explored and went all of the trails and saw what was there. It had potential then, it sounds like you've improved a lot. So that is a benefit to the county, but that's still
Wayne is...
Well, just a little more historical information. We did this in 1997. One of the things that the county considered doing this, and the reason why we didn't convey the property at that time, is that this is, as a wetland, it is a mitigation property. You know, we just talked about Logan Road, and one of the end results of the project we do for the culvert there may be that we put in a larger culvert, but we're going to have to provide mitigation. This may be a site that we actually want to do and do that. So we have, as historically, have banked mitigation properties and kept those and not conveyed those for various and sundry reasons and projects that we have in the future. And that actually is specifically mentioned in the easement in 1997 when we drafted this, that we were reserving the right to utilize the property for mitigation if necessary. Which would enhance, you know, mitigation, obviously, the result of mitigation enhances the wetland values. And that's what we would do if we did anything there. So that is something, just historically, I want to make sure everybody understood.
Okay. Other questions, Commissioner Thompson?
No, I think I'm getting there, but what I'm worried is, when I went before, the maintenance on there was so poor, Lincoln City had dropped the balls. You've improved it. I want to make sure that you don't drop the ball again if anything goes forward, that it doesn't, you know, fall to the condition it was at the time it was there.
Commissioner Hall?
Mr. Belmont answered my question why you didn't convey the property originally, and it sounds to me like, if anything, the county dropped the ball and the city took it up and stepped forward and has truly enhanced the property, and I appreciate that. I'm in favor, at least, of discussion between the county and the city to see if a transfer is feasible.
Other questions, Councilors?
Yeah, I have another question. Mayor Wayne, did we drop the ball, or did Lincoln City, when the maintenance went bad on that piece of property? I was under an understanding it was the city that quit maintaining it.
I actually don't know what that, but one of the things I wanted to suggest is if we do the discussion here, it may be a possibility of transferring the rights to the property, but reserving the rights for mitigation, which is, again, the purpose why we kept the property in the first place, is to have the mitigation possibilities there. And there may be a way we can do a transfer of the fee, but still retain the right to do mitigation. So
that's a basic concern. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Other questions, councilors?
Mr. Chairman, just to speak to Commissioner Thompson's issues, and I think it's valid, whatever. But I would point out that whenever it was, the city of Lincoln City has taken on more than just recently a new approach to all of its open space and parks. As you may recall, the voters in Lincoln City put up a $3 million bond for open space. We purchased open space, and we've gone through and actually started managing that open space with thinning of the trees in a sensitive way, rather than just letting them grow. So at least in my perspective, the last 12 years, the city has done a very nice job of stewarding open space and parks. So I understand his fear and agree with it. In my time, in the 12 years, it's been a big turnaround.
Well, I would certainly look at the recent activity and the recent improvements, and rather than worry about why or how it got to where it was, it's nice to see how it is. But I think, Council Belmont, I think you offered an opportunity that may make both parties happy, or at least partially happy, which would be a compromise, right?
Yes, and I think that the city manager and I will be meeting on a regular basis in the coming months here. We have a lot of issues here.
Okay, that's good conversation.
Thank you.
Presentation.
Thank you.
Sure. I'm always searching for a way to get the county out of the Logan Road situation. So if I can find another piece of property that's attractive to you so that we can make a deal so that you guys take over the Logan Road and we quit doing city services and stick to our main purpose. So I was searching for another tool. Mm-hmm. And I'm not sure that we don't have tools in our kit to make some things attractive.
Okay. Good point. Other comments from councilors?
I was just going to say, I like Commissioner Thompson said, but we do have that culvert, so we'll get that figured out.
That sounds like a high priority. All right, other questions, comments? Thank you.
Thank you.
Good to see you.
You too.
All right.
Nice to see you at the 5K on Saturday.
Well, I think we both feel better than we did after the run. All right. I guess the next and last item on the agenda would be biosolids update. I believe that's Council Belmont.
We also have a handout from the city on that.
Oh, do we? I'm sorry. We do. Thank you.
This particular issue is something that has been brought to the attention of the Board of Commissioners over the course of the last several months. And it's something that, admittedly, we didn't know much about. We're not in the business of doing sewer treatment activities. We don't have a facility. We don't know much about it. And it was a quick education process on our part to learn what happens with treated effluent, number one, and then with the biosolids that are a byproduct of that treatment process, and where those are actually disposed of. We learned that Lincoln City has actually stepped up and done a variety of different things in its own treatment process, including, it's hard for me to talk the technical stuff because I don't understand, but you have a centrifuge that in your allows you to dry the effluent that you're treating here in such a manner that you're actually not land applying, which is the issue we've been trying to address, is the land application of the byproduct of this treatment process of biosolids. And so we've been exploring this issue, and we've been talking to the communities around the county about the process. But a lot of people have come forward to us and expressed concerns about the land application process. And frankly, the answers we were getting from DEQ and some of the information was somewhat troubling to us in terms of compliance with the law. And this is not aimed at Lincoln City, by the way. Sorry, I just wanted to discuss because you're actually helping us with this process here. But it was with other communities in terms of the contractors they were utilizing. And some questions around whether there was compliance with the requirements of the law, the enforcement activities, you know, how well is it enforced, the testing that is done, a whole number of issues there that we have continued to look into. One of the things that we would like to do, though, is to discuss on a broader basis this question of land application of biosolids with all the communities in the county. And we had provided a letter to you indicating that we were going to explore that particular issue, and we're happy to announce, actually, that we've got a tentative date set for August 21st, which is Tuesday. It's the day before the Coastal Economic Summit. And thank you to Lincoln City. We're going to hold this meeting right here in City Hall on the 21st convene. We hope to convene. We've got Senator Roebling and Representative Gomberg in their offices are going to assist us in a process of convening the local communities that are involved in this particular sewer treatment process and land application of biosolids to get together to talk about it and get appropriate people from the state in front of us so we can ask them questions, learn more about the process, see if there are changes that need to be made in terms of either state law, administrative rule, the process for enforcement of regulations, but also really make this a positive and talk about alternatives. Lincoln City sort of led the way. You're doing some of the things that we would like to see maybe other communities and entities that do this treatment process follow. And they're interested in looking at it too. We've been having these conversations with Depot Bay, with Siletz, with Toledo, and other communities who will be part of that process. So I think the most important thing that I wanted to say was thank you to the City of Lincoln City for allowing us to utilize this facility. And it'll fit in very nicely with, I think, the overall discussions that will occur at the Coastal Economic Caucus anyway. So
I might clarify that the Coastal Caucus is scheduled for Wednesday and Thursday at Schmidt Winds. Right. So again, the attractiveness of the Tuesday gathering is the fact that many of those people would be planning to be in the area to begin with. So it's a convenient time, and appreciate the opportunity to use these facilities. And I might add, I truly appreciate this handout. Clarifies many questions that I had, or lack of questions or lack of knowledge. really didn't understand what the city had done to address the biosolids issue, and the fact that since 2016, it appears you have been contracting with North Lincoln Sanitary for disposal of biosolids at Coffin Butte. So that at least provides clarity about that question on biosolids. Well, I'm looking at Deanne first.
Okay. I would just suggest that if you have time on that Tuesday, and if Mr. Chandler can organize it to go and have a look, it's pretty interesting.
The process treatment plant.
The centrifuge process.
Yeah, it's not too far away.
All right. I like that idea. Thank you.
I have, just came to me, is there an opportunity to, you know, we have one centrifuge and we're going to be purchasing a second. The idea behind was it in the event that one was online or offline or things like that, is there an opportunity to have Toledo sleds or things like that? Can we work with the other communities and have them come or have them bring their, if the entire thing is to not apply it to land use, could we begin the process of bringing their 2% or 3% refuse here, dry it, play, you know, and then take it out as, and I don't know, do other communities have a centrifuge or anything, like, since we are the ones beginning and we will soon have two, is there an opportunity to, you know, charge for a fee or work with the other communities or have them come in or bring their treatment? You know, how much of this can it be interconnected wastewater treatment here in the beginning?
There have been some very, very preliminary inquiries about that, particularly with Depot Bay. What would be involved, how would it affect the city's capacity to treat its own biosolids. They haven't gone very far because they're still very preliminary, but certainly there's always an opportunity to discuss
things. Yeah, I think that would be something that would be worthwhile, bringing them in and say, if the movement is towards drying at a 20% thing, come here and work with us, and here this is what's been going on, and our, you know, challenges, and, you know, successes, and things like that. I think it's a wonderful opportunity.
Part of what we hope to do is actually talk about those local, countywide, or regional solutions.
Sure, I mean, and we'll soon have two. So
yeah. You
know. So before Commissioner Thompson, do we know? I understand the city of Newport also has a centrifuge. Is your process the same as theirs? Maybe.
They actually produce Class A biosolids. Again, I'm no expert in any of this, but I understand they actually produce Class A biosolids. So they have a different, higher treatment process, yeah.
Yeah, there's a little bit of understanding on Class A, Class B, Class C, the different classes that you have. And basically, they allow you to do certain things, and that is in the area of land application and where it can be done. We had been producing Class B biosolids, which allowed it, and that was about 5% solids, 95% water, I believe, was it. And we were shipping that off into containers that would then be spread out as fertilizer. And it would go on farm fields. When you take it to a Class A, it still can be land use applied, but it can be applied to a much bigger variety of lands. Now, what we have done with it by taking it to the centrifuge taking it to 20% solid, 80% water, is that it allows us to simply take it to the landfill and not have to do that. And so that the Class B designation is not as significant because we're not trying to apply it on farmland. We're just simply taking it to the landfill. Ultimately, the next step, it's a very expensive step, is to take it to dry it even farther, and then that allows it to, people can come and pick it up and use it as fertilizer on their properties.
Okay. Commissioner Thompson.
So one of the reasons that we had problems was not just the land use application. It looked like, and we're still searching for evidence, but it wasn't being applied to the land properly and winding up in the rivers. It's so easy here if you have the rain, if you have a rainstorm when you're unexpected to spraying or even expected, that it winds up in the rivers and that causes pollution and gets into the Endangered Species Act with coho. And I mean, it's a very complicated issue if any of it even one drop of that gets into the river.
The historical background on this for us, and what really triggered us to start looking into centrifuges, was not really an environmental issue. It was simply the loss of farmland to apply it. The farmers simply said, we're not going to apply it anymore. We ended up with two sludge beds that were full and at capacity without a place to go. And that's when we started looking at going to a centrifuge in order to take it out of the landfill so we would not have to deal with where to apply it.
I applaud you for what you're doing. But when you get to the water issues, and there's evidence as we got into it that they weren't enforcing anywhere close to that, complete enough for my satisfaction that they didn't present at least a potential harm. And like I say, we haven't got all the information in, but basically there was only one enforcement person for the whole North Coast. And so people could do what they needed to do.
All of Western Oregon.
Yeah, excuse me, all of Western Oregon. So that's not much enforcement on something like that. And so this meeting is going to be interesting for all parties. I'm going to be curious to hear what the agency's got to say.
Okay. Mr. Chair, I just want one further thing to add. Otto Gleason, Director of the Planning Department. When this issue came up, I think what we're seeing is the evolution of this issue. And yes, Lincoln City has shown some real leadership on developing. And I really like your suggestions about the synergies here, that and how we just need to continue the conversation as the work goes out. I think one of the most important outcomes that come from this important issue is that we're now beginning to really ask ourselves, because when this came up to the county, there was an awful lot of confusion. We're saying, well, is this really a problem? And people were beginning to see symptoms of ecological problems in the river with algae blooms or moss or, but there was a certain amount of confusion. People were alarmed that the river seemed to be changing a little bit. It was different. We've had a dry period apparently. I think the crops are early. So there are things going on, but what I think is potentially the most important outcome, aside from some of these important synergies and perhaps making sure if land application happens, it happens correctly or not at all, is we don't really understand very well our rivers. And that could be really probably the most important long-term outcome, is that we begin a conversation about what do we know about our rivers? What do we got to do to know to have an ongoing testing regime so we have this general, a much better profile? Because right, Wayne, that was one of the things. People, and we've got law students from UofL with us this summer that we're working on, one of their first questions was, do we know if this is really a problem? And the point is, we really don't. So I think in addition to the infrastructure issues that we've been talking about, there could be a very important outcome that also gets worked. So it's a water quality issue, so we begin to understand our rivers better, so that we're not caught so flat-footed and really not knowing what the issues are if we have better baseline information. So I want to put that on the table, and I understand Senator Roland's office is very interested in pursuing these issues of water quality in general. So I think that's an exciting outcome that we all look forward to nurturing that as well. Thank you.
Any other questions, City Councilor? No?
Not on this, but in a similar countywide, if I could, Mr. Chairman, while we're talking about biosolids and stuff, could we switch it to countywide interest on water supply? And I understand some coastal studies on future water needs, supplies, where to get it, how to retain it. Is the county involved, and could you maybe update us? I know Newport.
Who wants to go?
The answer is yes. There actually is a planning effort that was headed by a grant obtained by the city of Newport and involved state water authorities to look at kind of our watershed area that actually included everything from the northern part of the county all the way down to Yaws. And this group has actually been meeting for some time to talk about a variety of issues around water. And it's not just water supply, although that is a part of the equation, but we're talking about intertidal systems.
about water quality and the issues we've talked about here. They've been doing that for at least a year, maybe longer.
Yes, a year at least, because we gave the extra money to them.
Right, and they're extending it on to try and complete their process here, and they're actually seeking funding, some additional funding, including from local entities. They haven't made a formal request to you yet, they will be.
Formal?
Yeah, formal.
But it's, and that's important work, and I think we all need to nurture that, because it's providing, you know, and one of the things we said when we started tackling this issue was we got to do our homework. And before you really start talking about enhancing storage capabilities, which is probably one of the things we've got to figure out how to do it. It's very expensive, and it can be very controversial. But this exercise that's going on right now, and I attended the last meeting, I was impressed with the caliber of the people in the room, and the fact that these issues were being addressed with the proper consultants, so we just didn't sit around talking about it and not getting somewhere. So that's a very important effort, and I would encourage all of us to make sure that we see that through.
Commissioner?
Oh, we have not a time, but there's three areas of the state that were designated, and large amounts of money came from the state through Water Resources Commission. And we're one of the areas, and the only one that's quite, well, the other two in Eastern Oregon are completely different, but they're doing thorough in-depth studies in those areas to try to get a conclusion for what our needs are.
So we're serving with those two other communities as pilots to wrestle with the very things you're talking about. And so again, I think we need to support that and see it through. I'm going to make sure I'm attending the rest of the meetings, and I'm again impressed with the caliber of people that are involved, and they're really getting into what needs to be talked about.
Are we getting reports, updates on what's going on at the committee?
There's a lot of information circulating around. I don't know that I'm not sure if Lincoln City has a representative that's been attending.
And that's my concern, is wanting to make sure that we were included and involved.
Well, we can offer this. We'll take the information we've got there. And there's quite a bit of information, actually, on their website. They've actually put together a website and some stuff. And I'll make sure that we send that to Ron Chandler, and he can share it with the appropriate people.
And you know, there could be, it seems like next session there could be there's a lot of talk about a carbon tax bill on climate change. And if that happens, we're talking about a lot of money that would be available to the state to do potentially a wide variety of things. And certainly nurturing this kind of developing baseline information, homework stuff, I also think that could potentially be a source for doing some of the diagnostic work that we were just talking about. So I think a lot of things are beginning to come together here, and it's exciting. And we could really make some progress on this. Thank you for your comment.
Good point. Other comments, questions? Go ahead.
I got one other, and I'm not going to bother with a lot of in-depth, but I'd like to pass out or leave you three commissioners with a request, and the request is to support City of Lincoln City is going for a $6 million grant, a build grant, federal transportation, rural money to assist us in a new highway, new roadway parallel to 101 from South Lincoln City to East Devil's Lake. I put together a packet, a sample letter of support, which we can, you can edit, but we're trying to get it together. And would that be something you three would consider and in an about turnaround meeting next week?
I think we certainly, well, I can only speak for myself. I'm certainly willing to consider it, and we ought to be able to turn around quickly if there's consensus.
I'd like to ask a question.
Sure.
So you're talking about from South Lincoln City, where at? And we're going, because it's a wetland in there, and it's a big wetland and a very steep hill to come off of, so you must have a route in mind.
Yeah, when we did the gap area with 101 construction with ODOT, east of that is an area called Nelscott area. We got a grant, planning grant for that area because it's undeveloped, and I've got maps in here for you and stuff that's in the packet.
PJ. That's what I need.
Yep. And what it does is kind of skirt the ridge line across. And right now it's, you know, ink on transportation map, it's ink on planning map.
But, you know, kind of the question always is, how do you get started with something like that? And this, we saw a nice $6 million opportunity to at least kickstart with property owners and developers. So in the draft letter for you, I've kind of used, you know, as another alternative route for Tsunami and that kind of stuff. Yes.
So it's the orange line on the visual guide.
East.
Neighborhood connector, high-use corridor?
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
So come in 30 second.
We will get back to you at the end of the week.
Well, how about, oh, that'd be great this week. Sure.
Is that okay?
It's only Wednesday. Thank you, Commissioner.
Oh, no, you're one of the items on the agenda. Off of
it. Well, I wasn't on the agenda. I just did that.
I was trying to give us credit.
Can I get one more?
Sure.
Could I mention?
Go ahead.
I just like.
Who wants to go first?
I just. It's the same subject.
Sure, go ahead.
It's the one that Dick just gave to you. That if you've sat on the highway at all in that traffic.
Don't get Commissioner Thompson started.
You know, this is an excellent, excellent opportunity for at least the residents who know the area to dive off of the highway and actually get to their location on time.
Well, I know that when you look at emergency preparedness issues, this is alternative routes are critical, and this would certainly appear to address that in this area.
So, Mr. Chairman, my last one really is kind of an inquiry. We, like many jurisdictions, continue to get faced with homelessness issues and stuff. I've come to believe or understand that counties or municipalities do a point of time surveys on homelessness in order to go after federal grant money. So my question was, do we do that? And do we go, we as a county, go after federal homeless money, grants, that kind of stuff that hopefully perhaps we could tap into in Lincoln City as well?
Commissioner Hall?
As a county, we do not conduct a point-in-time count or pursue federal funding, but Community Services Consortium, our community action agency, which the commissioners of the three counties serve as the board of directors for, does do both of those things.
I thought when we did the homeless plan, that opened up our grant applications.
It opened up a lot of state money, and it's brought in a lot of state money, but there really has not been the federal money to back it up.
So, I guess just for clarification, is it CSC?
Six.
Yes. So, the study they do, would that not substitute for this point in time survey?
They do conduct a point of time count at an event every January under the federal HUD guidelines.
So, we could use theirs and go ahead and apply.
Yeah, if you wanted to apply directly for any public or private grants, you can access that data from CSC.
That's great. Thank you.
You bet.
Okay. Good question. Other comments, subjects? We're down to other. And we're at 7:09. All right. If not, I will agree with Dick that next time we get together, assuming I'm here, that we'll try to have a few of these items not reappear again. Any other comments? All right, good conversation, and appreciate your time, and we're adjourned.